leading up to Mother's Day, which is coming up in only a few weeks, I usually like to focus on women through Scripture. And we're going to look at some godly women in Scripture over a few weeks. And godly is a word that gets thrown around way too easily, because it's a word that makes you feel good, religious. But you should use it with caution. It should not be easily used, because it does not mean you go to church or that you know a passage or that you sing a song. What it does mean is that you know God and your life reflects His character and His image. Being godly means that your life isn't about you, but about Him. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." A godly person uses their life to honor the one who purchased them with his blood, the one who saved them from his wrath. And a godly mother, you're going to see God's holiness. And in her, you're going to learn His purity. In her, you're going to learn His love, and you're going to feel His love. In her, you're going to learn about Jesus and how to live for Him. Many of us have and have had the blessing of having a godly mom, one that reflects Jesus in the home, one that carries a godly character in the home. And if you had that mother, man, she should be honored and praised. Some of our ladies right here in this room have been godly ladies. Thank you, as we need that, as you've been called to do that, and it will reflect in a child's life. And sometimes this mama isn't our blood mama, but a lady that God placed in our lives to love us, to teach us, to care for us, someone that invested in us as if we were their child. We thank you for being a godly example. And mom is usually the one that a kid runs up to, right? Homework help, mama's ready. Daddy ain't no good. My kids learned that real quick. Dad's good at recess and lunch. Kids get the boo-boo, who'd they go to? Mama. She takes care of it, got the band-aids and the kisses. Dad's got the alcohol or the walk it off. Yeah? And yet, with all of our mothers do, often they feel overlooked, forgotten. She might get to where she questions her values. Am I valuable to this family? She might question her effectiveness. Sometimes not feeling needed. Let me just say that, Mom. You are needed. You are needed. We need godly moms who love God and live for Him, because they will be an effect on families. In Hebrews 11, as you know probably, that this chapter of the Bible is known as the heroes of the faith. Men and women that acted in faith, in obedience to God, and doing great things. And today we're going to look at the impact of an overlooked mama. A lady you don't hear much about, see much about, but man, did she make a difference in a life. And look in Hebrews 11, look at verse 23. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments." Let's open a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence, for your work.
We thank you for the mothers you've placed in our lives, especially those godly ones that understand the importance of their job, their commitment, their responsibility. Lord, I ask you to put your hand on each one of us here that we'd either appreciate or desire to grow and know you better, be conformed to your image. Lord, I ask you to give me the words to say that I can encourage and provoke one another to love and good works. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Maybe you've noticed the verse we read has no mention of a woman whatsoever. Did you notice it when we read it? You know, this is the first of seven verses that speak of Moses' faith. Most of the people here in this chapter that are referred to as heroes of the faith only get one verse. Abraham and Moses get a few extra. But this verse does not speak of Moses' faith. Whose faith is it actually speaking of? You notice in that verse? Who? His parents. Speaking of his parents. So the first thing I want to look at is the faith in action. Faith in action. The passage we're looking at today is referring to a long story that started in Exodus chapter 2. Almost 2,000 years before the book of Hebrews was even written. And no, not speaking of Moses' faith, but of his parents. And if you remember who his parents are, his daddy's name is Amram. In case you're going to have a kid and you want to find a new name for your kid, Amram. Okay? The mother's name is? The point exactly. Most of us won't remember. Her name is Jochebed. If you have a little girl, Jochebed's a pretty name. The truth is, in my view, Jochebed, mama, took the biggest action of faith that we see. Because of her planning, because of her work, because of her faith, Moses was kept alive. And because of her, Moses became an incredible leader in Israel. However, notice this about Jochebed. You know how many times we see her name in Scripture? How many times her name is actually mentioned in the entire Old and New Testament? Two times. Both times are in genealogies, and not mentioning because of her, but mentioning her name as the wife of her husband and mother of the kids. It wasn't about her at all. She had no big mention in Scripture, no strong popularity. She seems to have been overlooked as a nobody. Mamas, you ever felt this way? And sometimes you're just a cook, the dishwasher, the laundry folder, the house cleaner. But understand, what you do goes unnoticed often and unappreciated. And I hope today as we walk through these passages that you'll be encouraged. And here's two quick lessons as we see an unnoticed mother. Number one, moms, you make a difference even when it seems unnoticed. And we're going to see that in Jochebed's life. Lesson for dads and kids, we need to recognize and appreciate. Simple word. Thank you. Thank you. Makes a world of difference. I noticed what you've done. Thank you. But here is the thing about a godly mother that we see in Jochebed. Her faith, her faith didn't need to be notarized or noticed. Her faith didn't need to be recognized and awarded by people. She just wanted to honor God. And she trusted that God would use her faith. God would use her obedience. She didn't need someone to give her some big accolades and some name on the wall. She just thought obedience would honor God. So if you recall that story from Exodus 2, and we're going to turn there in a little bit, not just yet. If you remember that story, due to a famine that was happening, Jacob, who was renamed Israel, who his family became the nation of Israel. He took 70 people into Egypt. His whole family, 70 people, into Egypt. And over time, and the change of Egyptian leaders, the new kings had forgotten the importance of the Israelites. They forgot the peace treaties. They forgot the promises between these two nations. They forgot that Egypt only survived the famine because of Jacob's son, Joseph, who through God's prophecy and God's direction led him to give them a plan to save the nations even through this famine. So fast forward 400 years of them in Egypt, where over time they became slaves. That nation of 70 people became a nation of about 2 million people. They grew quite a bit. They're also known as rabbits. Yeah. 2 million people. And a new king started to fear the Israelites. Why? They're a big nation now. They're gaining power. They're gaining strength. They may get to the point they don't listen to us and they'll do what they want. Or better yet, they might overtake us. So the king did many things to try to stop their growth. Finally, he passed a law. Here's an important part. He passed a law that any Hebrew boy that was born would be killed. More specifically, drowned. Understand, this is another one of Satan's plan to destroy the nation that God is ultimately going to use. But understand that that king at the time just didn't want them to overtake him. So he started killing the baby boys. And this is when verse 23, this is what it's referring to, as we saw in Hebrews 11:23, says, by faith Moses, when he was born, during that law that he's supposed to be drowned, that when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. See, when Moses was born, the faith of Jochebed showed. How? Well, she defiled the king's order, knowing that she could be killed for it. Now understand, oh, is that rebellion? No, she was submitting to the higher authority that is of God. We honor our governmental authority as long as it does not trespass or violate the law of God. God is our highest authority. He's who we bow to. He's who we honor. And so she, in honoring God, did not submit to this law. She didn't have to kill her first son, Aaron, because he was born before the law. She didn't have to kill her daughter that was born because she was a girl. But now, Moses, there was a problem. But she wasn't afraid of the enemy. By faith, she would do what was right. So they hid this boy. They protected him. For those commanded to drown him would come looking for any babies, for any little boys. Now you imagine feeding and keeping silent and hiding dirty diapers and drying diapers. In a day like this, try not to let them know you have a baby boy in the home. Well, why would she rebel? Why would she risk her family and her life to protect this baby? Number one, because she was a mama. Yeah? She was a mama. Don't mess with mama's boy. Ever been to a sports event? Even here at Trail, just between us, no one else, there are certain people I don't want to sit around. And I mean that in a very nice way. They're crazy. If their kid is on the court, man, he's a professional athlete. And that referee doesn't have a clue what he's doing. right? They're crazy. They're going to protect their kid. That's a motherly instinct. She's going to protect him. On top of that, she's a godly mama, and she's going to protect the life that God has blessed her with. She will not let this baby be killed for inconvenience.
But see, that wasn't the biggest reason why she protected him. If you notice there in verse 23, it says, because they saw he was a, what does it say? A proper child. I know we're in a Baptist church, but it's okay to talk a little bit. He was a proper child. He was special, not special like they used to refer to me, but he was a special child. God had a great plan for him. The proper child would be referred to as a beautiful baby, a beautiful boy. And we're going to see how that comes into effect later. See, they had no clue who Moses would become. They had no clue how God was going to use him. They had no clue that one day God was going to use him to free the Israelites out of Egyptian rule. They had no clue that God was going to use him to bring in 10 plagues. Powerful things the nation can't even explain how it's happening. But they knew that God had a plan for him. Mama, God has a plan for your child. And you have a responsibility to raise him. Be an example of faith. Jochebed simply realized what every parent needs to know about their child. And if you need to write this down, do it. Psalms 127, verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Sometimes we've got to remind ourselves of that verse, don't we? Oh, yeah. Yeah, calm down. He's a blessing. He's a gift of God. See, parent, you are simply a steward of God's child. They are a reward from God. You understand? When he gave you a baby, he gave you a reward. Every child is the grace of God, the blessing of God. Your responsibility is to raise him according to Ephesians chapter 6, to raise him for the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Your job is to raise him for God to use him for his glory. That's what Jochebed was doing. If you'll turn over to Exodus chapter 2 now, with this in mind, understanding that Jochebed knew her child was a special child, that God wanted to use him. She hid him as long as she could for 3 months. Then it was time. We're not going to read all the verses here to see all this, but there's some main points I'd like us to see. She had to just trust God with her child. Now, I dealt with parents before, and I shared before. When I had teens in our youth group, they were called to ministry. Parents struggle. Oh, we don't know where you end up. What he's going to do. Well, the greatest blessing for that child is to be where God wants to take him. Yeah? My brother, as you know, was in Brazil for 20 years. Separated from us. But when he came back to the States, he almost seemed useless. He was out of where God wanted him. All he could think of is there. All he could do is send videos of there. Why? God had transferred his heart to his home in Brazil. We've got to remember that kid can be used by God. And sometimes we've got to set him free. Say, Lord, use my child. And look what she did in Exodus 2. Go to verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, here's a crazy mama. She weaved together a basket, put tar all over it so it would float, and put her baby in it.
not in abandonment, but in protection, because we're going to see she actually put someone there to keep him safe too. See, she strategically placed this baby in a riverbank in a special spot because she knew who would find him there. Understand, if a Hebrew found him, they were no good to him. Because why? If a Hebrew found a Hebrew baby boy, what'd they have to do? Kill him. Remember? Drown him. Jochebed had a better plan. She said, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to trust God. And she put this basket in the right place. She placed him where the royalty would find him. Here's the interesting thing. Instead of going through the whole story, Pharaoh's daughter found the baby. Pharaoh, the one that made the law to drown babies, baby boys that were Jewish, she found the baby. But he was so beautiful, remember? Parents saw that he was special. He was so beautiful, she fell in love with him and adopted Moses. This is a neat thing, and I challenge you to go back to Exodus 2 and read the whole chapter and get the story. Remember that Moses was beautiful, and now he's adopted by a woman that was not pregnant. There's a problem. She can't feed this baby. Right? Thought about this problem yet? She couldn't go to Walmart and get some formula. It's a little bit different in those days. But what did Mama do when they put that basket in the water? You remember Moses' older sister, Miriam? She stayed right there watching. She was making sure things were safe. Here's what's really neat. When the problem arose, and Pharaoh's daughter realized, I can't feed him, Miriam jumps into action. She'd been peeking through the brush, and she realized, this is my chance. And look at in Exodus 2, go down to verse 7. Then said this sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Did you catch this? Miriam, who's peeking through, sees the Pharaoh's daughter get the baby, and she comes over and says, hey, I see you have a problem. Would you like me to find someone that could nurse him for you? Now understand, why would she need Miriam, a Jewish girl, to help her? Because there would have been many Jewish women whose babies had been killed that were ready to nurse, but now are mourning because they don't have a child. They would love to nurse that baby. But if Pharaoh's daughter comes in, guess what? They're all hiding. They ain't getting around her. So Miriam has to go and find somebody. And she says, okay, if you make me. And so what does she do? Ultimately, she takes the baby back to Moses' own mom, Jochebed. And here's the really cool thing. You know, she gets to take care of Moses until he's weaned. Anywhere about 3 to 4 years old culturally, okay? And just so you see who's really in charge of his plan, who orchestrated the whole thing, on top of her getting to raise and nurse and love on her own baby boy, Pharaoh's daughter said, and I'm going to pay you to do it. Tell me that ain't a good gig. God just said, listen, I took care of you. You're faithful to me. Go back to Hebrews 11, if you will. See, Jochebed had no clue how this was going to work out. But she trusted God for the care in this situation. See, this is faith. You don't know what faith is? What's a description of faith? What's a definition of faith? Well, since you're in Hebrews 11, put your finger right there. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm sorry, it's Hebrews 11, verse 1. I'm an amateur, I'm sorry. Hebrews 11, look at verse 1. You want to know what faith is? Before talking about the faith of all these people, look, it's very simple. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith
It's obedience to God, even though I don't know what's going to happen. I have confidence that God is going to use it and work in it. But I have no clue how it's going to work out. You don't know where it'll take you, how God's going to work it out, but you can do it because you trust God will be honored in your obedience. It's the substance of what I hope to do. It's the evidence of things I'm not familiar with. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not in control. So in faith, Jochebed protected this gift of God. In faith, she said, this baby is a special baby that you have blessed me with. Mama, every one of us should look at our babies and say, this is a special baby. Why? Because God has given him to me with the responsibility to raise him for his glory. Never should we look at a baby as inconvenient or trouble, but as a blessing from God. And that's what Jochebed did. So this baby's special. God will use him in a great way. Now imagine being Moses as a child. Hearing the stories of why he was alive and how he was found in a basket. And over time realizing there's no Jewish dudes my age. Hearing what your mom did in faith and her faith over Pharaoh's attacks or threats. Her faith that demonstrates the love of God for him and her faith that caused obedience in trials. And we don't know how he heard these things and learned these things, but look how they affected him in Hebrews 11. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had to make a choice. And so the second thing we see here is faith being passed on to him. Faith passed on. Moses, being adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, could have lived a good life as an Egyptian. A life of ease and luxury, money and power. He was a part of the royal family. He had no worries and no concerns. Instead, he was old enough to understand that he had a choice to make. He had to choose to be with the people of God. Who are the people of God? It's the nation God created to be obedient and to carry his light. Now, did they do that? No. They are disobedient, and they also receive much punishment for it. And yet God holds his promise because he's going to use them again. He's going to use them one day. You've been here on Wednesday nights. We've been seeing it. But Moses said, no, I'm going to be with the people of God. I want to be with the Hebrews, the Israelites, the nation God created for himself, because Moses chose to love God. He knew that this life was going to be tough. Choosing to go as a Hebrew was not going to be easy. Why? You remember where the Hebrews were? Remember what the Hebrews are doing? They are slaves in Egypt. They are being persecuted by Egypt. The babies are being killed by Egypt. Now, he had no clue how tough it was going to be or what his future looked like, but Moses knew it wasn't going to be rich or easy. That's why in verse 25, he said, choosing rather to suffer afflictions. He accepted the consequences of honoring God. He accepted the consequences of being who God created him to be. To honor God can be tough. You may have to go through struggles, sadness, attacks, hatred. But you have to choose, I'm going to live as a man of God. But Moses, by faith, knew it was worth it. By faith, Moses knew the reward was better. Look at verse 26 here. This is an interesting verse. It says, esteeming, talking about Moses, esteeming the reproaches of who? Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Notice that Moses considered the reproach for Christ, the suffering for the Lord. A little bit strange, isn't it, to hear about Christ referring to Moses? Moses lived 1,500 years before Christ was even born. How would this refer to Christ? Moses never even knew the name Jesus. But here's the neat thing. Remember, who is Christ? Remember, Christ isn't Jesus' last name. Christ is the person that Jesus is. Christ is the Greek word, the New Testament word, for the Old Testament word what? Messiah. What Moses did know, that there was a promise that God would send the Messiah. And he knew the reproach for having faith and hope in the coming Messiah, the Christ, was worth anything he would suffer. Do you trust that Christ is going to return? Do you truly trust that one day we will see Jesus face to face? Do you trust that he will judge sin and give rewards to those who are faithful? Do we really believe it, or is it just a thing we say at church? Because if we really believe it, I believe we'd be like Moses and say, it's worth all the suffering right now. I'm going to live a righteous, holy, pure life. I'm going to let him dominate my speech, the words that come out of my mouth. I'm going to minister as if I was Jesus. I'm going to let the suffering happen because you know what? Whew, I'm living for the day I'm going to look him face in face. I'm going to live for that day I know that judgment's coming. I'm living for the day that he's going to give some crowns away. Yeah? Moses knew it would happen. Do we? He didn't understand how much suffering he'd go through, but he accepted it. And look at verse 27. They're in Hebrews 11. By faith, he, that's Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses did not fear or follow Pharaoh. He would actually later confront Pharaoh to his face. Moses knew God would reward his faith and his obedience. Why do I keep talking about Moses? Is this about Jochebed? Where did Moses learn this faith? Where did he learn this courage? Where did he learn to obey God? From that overlooked woman. The woman there's nothing mentioned about, but she taught him faith. She taught him that it was greater to stand with the people of God than enjoy sin for a season. Why? Because of a godly mom. A godly mom. The truth is, it was both of his parents it's speaking about here, but his mom, we see the action. They were a team. They worked together to raise him. Mama, when you feel overlooked, remember, your faith teaches. It guides. Your love and obedience to God is going to guide your children. Our kids need to see a love for God in our lives. Not just in our words, but in our lives. A consistent obedience and pursuit of relationship with God. Moses learned from his parents, his mama, to fear God, to place God in his righteous position. And the last thing I want to say is the obedience continued. He transferred faith, but that faith alone is nothing, right? He starts to obey. In Hebrews 11, look at verse 28. Through faith, he, speaking of Moses, kept the Passover and a sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were destroyed. Notice, by faith. Anytime faith is involved, there will be action. You know what I mean? Anytime faith is involved, there's going to be action. You can claim faith all day long, but when the Word of God doesn't transform you, you're not really placing faith in it. When you don't act in obedience to God, you're not acting in faith. You're acting in feeling and in emotion. When faith is involved, there's always action. There's some little guy in the New Testament that said so. James 2:17, even so, if it hath not works, it is dead being alone. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it is dead being alone. Faith is always seen in a life of the believer. A desire to know God better, to pursue Him. If you don't care to let God's Word transform you, if you don't care to know God deeper, you with me? You don't have faith, you have religion. And religion doesn't save. Faith in Christ saves. Faith will always transform, slowly, will always cause obedience. Faith always calls you to reflect and to bear His image so that your God, your Savior, can be seen through you. See, later in Moses' life, as he continues to grow in his faith and being used by God, God told Moses to have the Hebrews put blood on a doorpost. If you remember, as the plagues were coming upon Egypt, that last one, he said, okay, Moses, I want you to take hyssop and have the Israelites put blood on their door, every one of their doors. What? No, Moses didn't do that. You know what he said? Yes, sir. He said, yes, sir. Now, he didn't understand completely that without the shedding of blood, there's no payment for sin. It's a picture of Christ coming, and he's shedding that blood. And what happened? Because of the obedience of the Jews, the angel of death passed over their homes, not harming them, instead going to the homes of the enemies and killing the oldest son in each home. Remember that story? What did that take? Faith. How in the world is blood on top of my doorpost going to help, Lord? Trust me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then they witnessed it. Whew, how cool is that? Then later, God told Moses to lead the Hebrews to the walls of water. Remember? Cross the sea. Don't worry. There's dry land in between. The water standing up. Two big old walls. I want you to walk through those walls to the other side. But Lord, a whole lot of questions here. What if one of the kids pokes that wall? I don't know. Because, you know, if I'm in between there, I'm going to try to figure something out. I'm putting my arm through there, catching a fish, bringing it to Walter. I don't know. There's just so much interesting to me. I'm like, God, you know how heavy water is? There's a lot. But what did Moses do? Yes, sir. And what happened because of their obedience? When God said, walk through on dry land between these walls of water. And they said, yes, sir. And remember, those millions of them trampled through there, just marching right through on dry land. Don't let the movies confuse you. Scripture says it was dry land. The movies show the muddy spots and the wheels falling off and people trip. No, it was dry land. God dried it for them. And they walked through. Whew, we made it. But you know what really comforted them? As they get to the other side and they look back, and God closes that and kills all the enemies. You know what happened? By faith, God blessed and protected them. They got to see God work in their lives. Notice where did Moses learn this obedience, this faith, that he could lead the Jews to do the same? Where did it start?
Mama Jochebed. She was obedient to God. Women, so listen to this. She was obedient to God. Not a church lesson. It's not because of a prayer that she got him to say at the end of the night. It was not giving him a Bible with his name engraved on it. It wasn't making him memorize verses and songs. All those things are included. All those things are important. But Jochebed displayed a life of faith before Moses was ever even born. She had to decide to honor and live for God. She walked in obedience. She protected God's gift of that baby. She trusted God's heart. And she taught this faith to her son because he was watching it in her own life. See, through the life of Moses, we see some major steps of faith. And where did it start? A woman that is overlooked. We don't see her name. She's always referred to as mom or wife. She didn't need the notoriety. She didn't need to be honored. She just wanted to live for the Lord. So moms, when you think you're overlooked, understand that God is still at work. God is still using your faith and your obedience. And here's the cool thing. He will reward your faith. He will reward your obedience. He will reward you living for Him. So mamas, thank you for living a godly life. And if you're not, I love that God is a God of second chances. You can start right now. You can repent and call on Him for salvation if you've never done it. Or you can turn over to Him the issues, the sins of your life, and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And let Him start working in you now. Would you stand with me? Only way we walk by faith is when we build our faith on the right thing. And you cannot walk by faith in Christ without having intimacy with Him. Faith has to be built on Him and His Word, and knowledge of Him, in relationship with Him, in prayer to Him, and trusting Him. So let's sing together. My faith is built on nothing less. Thank you for letting God use you to display faith and obedience. And over the next bunch of weeks, we hope to just look at different women in the Bible and be challenged by them. So God uses women in great ways, in awesome ways. And so let us be challenged to understand that He wants to use you. And remind me tonight, 6 o'clock, Bible study.